Good morning and Lord's blessings to each one of us. It's a joy to be together, isn't it? It really is. Could we just kneel together to pray before we start? Our Father in heaven, we are kneeling before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for all your great mercy and blessings upon us. We thank you, Lord, for how you've changed our hearts and lives in so many areas and so many ways. We ask, O God, that you would come and build your church right here at Faith Christian Fellowship and across the whole world. We ask, Lord, that you would come and ask, Lord, that you would draw us to yourself and help us. Lord, we know that there's so much apostasy. There's so many Christians that are falling away from the truth. And we ask, O God, that you would help us and be merciful. And Lord, whatever it takes to keep us on that straight and narrow path, we beg of you that you would do that. And Lord, we ask that you would even this morning, Lord, your word says where two or three are gathered in your name, you'll be there in their midst. And so, Lord, it's with confidence that we've gathered. We thank you for being here. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue, even as you have already. You've been sharing with us this good word of life. And Lord, our hearts have already been stirred. And we just ask, Lord, that we could continue to draw nigh to you. Lord, please guide my heart and thoughts. Ask the Lord for a clear burden and the ability to communicate to all of us together what you have. Lord, help me to think clearly. And thank you for your burden. In Christ's name, amen. If you look at the title that I have on the board, God Changing the Heart of Man. It's a pretty interesting subject. And what I want to share this morning isn't how he does it, but it's more what we can do for him to do some of that in our own hearts. I've had this on my heart for some time already, and in preparation for all this, I've actually been working on it for some time, but I not so long ago had a conversation with a brother from some distant state that I know fairly well, and this brother, his testimony, his own life, his testimony of how he came to the Lord. You know, there was a time when he grew up as an unbeliever. He grew up in the big city with gangs. He grew up in horrible immorality. He grew up in horrible wickedness. And when he started seeking God and God started changing his heart, and then when he got converted and the journey on through, there was a clear transformation that happened in his heart. And it was clear. He told me this. He said, even after I was converted, he said, when I got converted, people saw a change. But he said, on down the road, people started coming and specifically talking about the heart change that they see in his life. And they started talking about that. So I want to talk about that heart change. Now, before I go into what I want to share this morning, I'm just sort of curious. Is there anyone here this morning that has faced, even as a Christian, okay, we're here this morning and primarily, you know, we've gotten converted, changed, his spirit's within us. How many of you have specific areas in your life that you would like to have God change that area of your heart? Is there anyone here like that? Oh, okay. That's good. Okay, so we're talking to the right people, right? Okay, I think we're all at that place, right? All of us, we have already been changed, but now there's a continuing sanctification that God wants to do within our hearts. For some here, for some of us here, we might be at a place where maybe there is a, I'm going to say anger. And that thing that you face, you sense it, and you maybe face that anger, and you found a level of victory, and then, you know, you move forward, and maybe you've gone back into that. Or maybe you've never gotten on top of that. Maybe for some, there might be bitterness. Bitterness is one of those things that can very easily creep into our lives without us even knowing that we have bitterness. And bitterness often comes by when we get hurt. There's whether it's in the family or brothers and sisters or place of work, various things. When things happen, we face issues and it hurts us. And rather than being able to forgive and let go, there's a sense of bitterness that sets into our hearts. And we long to be free from that bitterness. Maybe there's some here that have some besetting sin. Maybe it's some little sin, or maybe it's some big sin. Maybe it's strained relationships. Maybe it's between husband and wife, and things just really aren't where you desire to see them to be, and long for your relationship to be. Maybe things just aren't where they ought to be. Maybe there's stubbornness. Now, I don't think anyone here struggles with stubbornness. We wouldn't do that. There's others that would. But I know sometimes I have some stubbornness in my own heart. But there's things, am I right? Many times there are things that we look at and we become aware are issues in our life, and we would desire for change to come in our own heart. And we ask the question, how can we get there? How can we have God? How does God change that thing in my heart? How can I have Him change that? That's what we want to talk about. Now, with that, Scripture instructs us in many different ways of things we can and should do to overcome. And we won't talk about all of those different things here this morning. So this isn't necessarily a balanced message. It's not all-inclusive. But there's a certain area that I'd like to maybe focus on. You know, Scripture talks about fleeing temptation. Scripture talks about taking every thought captive. Scripture talks about how we need to confess and forsake, and there's all kinds of things that Scripture talks about that we need to do in this whole process of overcoming and our hearts changing. But there's a specific area that I'd like to look at. How does God change the heart of a man? How does He do that? Now, before we go into some of that, I would like to maybe give you a little story to help us maybe see how us as Christians or us as believers tend to do and be many times. Now, we're pretty familiar with the account of Jonah. We're pretty familiar with the account of Jonah in Scripture, and Jonah, how he, when God started calling Jonah, and God told him to go over to Nineveh, and how he turned and he fled, and you know the whole story about the fish, and then finally he, You know, he turned and he went over to Nineveh. And then when Jonah came, and by the way, this story that I want to give is a little picture of what I'm going to say many Christians do and what we should do. And here Jonah goes over to Nineveh, and when he comes to Nineveh, it says that this city was a large city. It describes it as a 3 days journey, and I would assume to walk around it. I don't know for sure, but history would indicate, or actually scripture here indicates, that it's about 120,000 people that were in the city. 120,000 people. And so if you compare that to what we have today, if you go up to Canton, there's about 90,000 people in Canton. If you go up to Akron, there's about 180,000 people in Akron. So it's about, size-wise, it's in between Canton and Akron, size-wise. But it says that Jonah went into the middle of the city, and he started preaching. You know, he started preaching, and he told the people what God told him. He said that in 40 days, the city is going to be destroyed. Now consider with me what was happening in the heart of Jonah. Jonah, if you recall everything that has happened, I'm just going to say there was stubbornness, there was bitterness, he was lethargic, he had attitudes, there's all kinds of stuff going on in Jonah's heart. But he still went in and he obeyed. He came into the city and he started preaching. As he came and he started preaching, and he said, in 40 days, this city is going to be destroyed and everyone killed. Now consider with me what we would do, what you and I would do, if this message would come to us, and there's a voice that prophesies and says that in 40 days, every one of us are going to be killed because of our wickedness. Okay, here was a big city. 120,000 people, and this voice went out. Jonah preached. And the people responded to the preaching. And as they responded to the preaching, they went, and there's many that lay in sackcloth and ashes. And there's many that started fasting. And can you tell me what the king did? Who can tell me what the king did? He declared a fast. He said, I want everyone in this whole city, this 120,000 people, I want everyone to fast. And the animals. And I'm not sure what you think of when you think of fasting. But he said, no food and no water. Now, picture with me. There's lots of animals. There's all these fathers and mothers, and there's all these children. And picture with me all these little children. What happens when they don't have food and water? And you have 120,000 people, and all of a sudden, after a day and gone into the second day, can you just imagine how it sounded from the animals? Who can tell me how it sounded with the animals?
Moo.
Moo. That's good. That's how it sounded. There was mooing and baying. And can you imagine God from heaven, if you look at all the animals mooing and baying to God? Not only that, there's all these 120,000 people. What were they doing? They were laying in sackcloth and ashes, many of them, and there was no eating or drinking. None. No eating or drinking. Well, I can sort of go without food pretty good for a while, right? You know, it gets rid of some of our extra weight and some of that. But what happens when all of a sudden there's no water? Okay? No food and water. and you look at the youth, and you look at the children, and you just imagine that all these people, there was a cry that was going out that was saying, God, we need you to hear us. Would you please have mercy upon us? Right? There's this cry that went up to heaven. Animals and men, and there's this crying went up and this plea for mercy. Day after day. It went on. Now, tell me what Jonah did. Tell me what the believer was doing. Tell me. Huh? What was the believer doing? He was pouting. He was pouting, and he was saying, oh, God, just destroy him. Just get rid of him. Huh. All right, now you chew on that, and you think about it. You have this need, and I have this need. We all have these needs, and I want you to think about what God would do in changing our hearts if we would have that attitude. Now, I want to look here at, I have a little heading here that says, changing into the image of Christ. Changing into the image of Christ. And scripture here in 2 Corinthians gives, in chapter 3, it talks about being changed into his image. Now, is there anyone that would like to be changed into the image of Christ? Anyone? Yeah. We'd like to be changed into his image. Now, he tells us how to do it. He tells us how to do it. It's not just some generic thing. He tells us how to do it. I'm going to first read it, then we want to talk about it. That's what he says. And by the way, could everyone open your Bibles with me? Everyone open your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians in chapter 3. And we want to read these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. It says this, Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Now, can anyone tell me the next five words? We all beholding, it says, we're all beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Now tell me those next five words. Are changed. Okay, now tell me again, loud. We're changed into his image. Is anyone that would like that? And how is it done? Anyone tell me? How is it done? By beholding him. Now let's read. It says, But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, he uses this word, beholding as in a glass. And this glass, he actually uses, that glass means mirror. Now, I want, Steve, do you want to come up here and hold this mirror? You hold that mirror. Now, I know you're not God. Okay. But we are to look into, yeah, okay. So we are to look into his face, into God's face. We are to draw nigh, and we are to look at. And as we do that, there's his reflection comes on us. And there's a change that starts happening, and we're changed from glory to glory. And we look at Christ, we look at him, and as we look at him, his reflection comes back on us. And there's a change that continues to start happening. And we look at him and we look at him. We look at him. We look at him. And as we look at him, we draw nigh. And there's a drawing nigh and a looking at. There's a change going on in our hearts. That's what it says. Okay, thank you. That's what it says. It says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. Isn't that what those men were doing and those women? Their eyes and their faces, they were drawing nigh to God. And as they were drawing nigh to God, God heard them and God hearkened to them. And there are things happening. In fact, it says that they turned away from their wicked ways. They turned away. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, how do we change into His image? How do we have that transformation in our life? Is it not when we listen to Him, when we pray to Him, when we study His Word, when we draw nigh to Him, is it not when we seek His face, when we study the Word, when we fill our hearts with that, and as we do that, His image, His all of that continues to transform our life. Okay, now we all know that the blood washes our sins away and all kinds of other stuff, right? But we're focusing this morning on us and how we draw nigh to Him. And as we look into His face, and by the way, Brother Joel, have you and your wife, since you're married, you've sort of become like each other? There's ways of thinking that has continued. You have your effect on each other. Has that ever happened? He nods his head. Wow. Okay. Marilyn, do your children have influence on each other? Oh, wow. Josh, are the people that you rub shoulders with at work all over the place, do they have influence on your life? They do. And here we are, and we're Christians, right? We're Christians. We get up in the morning. We might have 5 minutes with the Lord. Then we go all day long, and we forget about Him. And then we expect our lives to be shaped and formed into His image. What a sham. Right? What a sham. Brothers and sisters, how do we expect to be changed from glory to glory and conformed into His image but by us drawing nigh to Him? By us coming to Him and us seeking Him and fasting and seeking His face, studying His Word, asking Him to transform our life, looking into that mirror, we look at God, and as we look at God, we become like Him. Yeah, and by the way, my wife, she's had a lot of good influence on me already. But you get the picture. It clearly says that we are to be changed from glory to glory. We are changed as we draw nigh to Him. We are changed as we look in and gaze into His face. And we read His Word. We study His Word. We draw nigh to Him. We understand Him. And as time goes on, that effect continues to transform our life. And people will look on. Just like that friend of mine that I was talking about, he said this. He said, People immediately saw a change in my life. And then as time goes on, there was something they started coming and saying, we sense you're walking with God. There's continued change coming into your life. Why did that happen? He says this. He says, I had some of those besetting sins. And he says this, I fasted to the place that I ended up in the hospital. He said, I wasn't all wise in everything that I did. But he said, my heart was bent. He said, my heart was bent toward God. And I knew that God said in his word that I can overcome these sins and I can get on the other side. And he said, my heart was bent. And he said, I fasted, I sought God. And as he continued to do that, all of a sudden, people started coming to him and they sensed there's the Spirit of God was there. There's a changed life. And all of a sudden, they wanted some of what he had. Wow, that's powerful stuff, right? What was happening? He was looking at Christ and he was begging and he was crying and he was asking God to change that heart, to help him overcome, help him change, and to take these things out of his heart. And he sought God and he sought God, and God continued to change his heart. You know, he had salvation earlier, but there's a sanctification that was going on, right? Oh, what a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. I have another little heading here that just simply says sanctification. And that's what we're talking about, sanctification. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It says this way, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Of him. You're in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on and says, who of God is made unto us? Christ within us, then is wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Christ in us is redemption, sanctification, righteousness, and wisdom. Him in us, he all of a sudden comes and puts all this stuff inside of us. Do you want all that, Steve? The sanctification, the righteousness, the wisdom and redemption. Do you want all that stuff? Do you too? And it's through Christ. Through Christ. Him inside of us. Now, I'm picking on you, brother. Steve drives down the road every day. He's on a truck. He's driving that truck. And I didn't ask you, Steve, but he's driving the road. He's driving down the road. Now, Steve can be doing a lot of things. He can be listening to the CB and hearing what all's happening with the other trucks. And by the way, they probably don't do as much these days as they used to. But he can be listening to all kinds of stuff. Or he can be filling his mind with the Word of God. Day in and day out, that Word of God is filling his heart and mind. And as that Word of God is filling his heart and mind, you know, there's spiritual life. It continues to, and he drives down the road in the truck and he prays and listens to the Word, and there's just all kinds of stuff happening in his heart. Or he can be filling his mind with all kinds of other stuff. You tell me which direction his spiritual life is headed by what he puts into his heart. Right, brother? Yeah? Yeah, that's how it works. That's how it works. That's how it works. It says, to be spiritually minded is, can anyone tell me? To be spiritually minded is life. Spiritually minded is life and peace. And to be carnally minded is what?
Death.
Who can tell me what it means to be carnally minded? Anyone? What does it mean to be carnally minded? Strife? More. What does...
Careless.
To follow after the things of the flesh. To be earthly minded. So that means we shouldn't work. That means we shouldn't be involved in life's duties. Or what does it mean? What does it mean to be earthly minded?
Where our heart is.
What our heart is going after. What our heart is going after. Wow. I mean, that's, you know, right? And there's a big difference there. Steve, he drives down the road every day. Lord, just help me to grow in grace and knowledge. Lord, just, I want to grow like you. He listens to the word. He listens to the sermons and drives down the road and says, God, help me. Lord, I have this struggle. Lord, help me. And you know, he continues to change, right? Right? And that's Steve. Drives down the road and he just, okay. Now, isn't that what it is? Right? And there's plenty of other drivers driving down the road, and guess what they're listening to? The music and the talk shows, all kinds of stuff. You know what they're filling their minds with, and you know where their heart's going. You know that, right? You know that. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. So, we want to become like Him. We want to become like Him. We look at Him. We study Him. We study His Word. We talk to Him. We draw nigh to Him. And as we do that, it reflects on us. It reflects on us. We draw nigh to Him and our hearts are in sync. And there's things that start happening, and the change and the desires and the longings of the heart are reflected, and other people look on and says, that man is he's a spiritual-minded man. You see the love of God in his heart. There's something there. Right? Reflects out of his life. Now, I want to give us another story similar to the one that we had with Jonah. I want to give you another story. And the story that we want to look at this morning, that's similar to the one that we had with Jonah, this one specifically, I want you to take note in how when God was sought, how that God specifically started to move and do things with the people. Because of how they sought him, and because how they drew nigh to him, and because of their earnestness, God came and he started moving things in their midst. And he started putting his own puzzle together. See, we want God to be moving in our midst, and we want God to change us. But all of us, we're way too lazy, right? I'm the first one. We're way too lazy. Right, Larry? I'm a lazy man, right? We're lazy. We're way too lazy spiritually. Lots of other stuff gone, lots of other things we need to do. We're way too lazy. Way too lazy. But I want to share with you the account of Esther. And I know that you're familiar with that account with Esther and how Esther, that whole story of how the king, how the queen disobeyed the king, and then the whole search of a new wife. And by the way, all of that was because of the wife's disrespect for her husband. Big disrespect going on. She didn't obey him. Then how Esther became queen, and the queen, she was there, and this whole thing started happening between Mordecai and Haman. And Mordecai, he was a Jew. He was a man of God. He was a godly man, and it was because of his influence that he had on Esther that Esther was such a God-fearing lady. She feared God. She was a Jew. She loved God and she feared him. But you know the story of how things went. And Haman, this proud man, he was put in as second in command with the king. And then he was there, and Mordecai, he was out here by the city gate and outside the palace. And how Mordecai, how he refused to bow himself to Haman when Haman came around. Every time Haman came around, all the other people, they came and they bowed. And Mordecai, he just stood there. And Haman became very angry at Mordecai. And he looked at Mordecai. And he decided, I'm going to get rid of that man. And he started asking about him. And as a result of all the asking, he discovered he's a Jew. And he discovered that these Jews, you know, they were in captivity these days. Over in Persia, they were in captivity. And he discovered that these Jews are scattered throughout all the different provinces, and they carry a different belief. They carry a different belief. So Haman, he went to the king and he said, would you please make a decree that all these Jews, they have a different belief and they are, they're not conducive to our kingdom. Could you make a decree that all of these Jews would be completely annihilated, destroyed? And not only are they destroyed, but that all the booty, all their possessions become our possessions. And, you know, the king being happy to somehow come and make him happy, he'll make Haman happy. He said, sure, I'll endorse that. And he put his stamp on it. There was a law made, and you know the story. Well, time went on here. But all of a sudden, when this law went out, can you just consider with me, in Susan, the palace, in the city, all these Jews, when they heard that all of us are going to get killed, can you imagine what was going on that day? Now consider with me, if we would know, if we would find out, and there would be a decree go out across the whole United States, that all the Christians, all the Christians, within 40 days, all the Christians are going to be executed. Everyone that professes to be a Christian is going to be executed. And this word would come around, and we'd find out, and we'd come here to church on a Sunday morning, and we'd gather on a Wednesday night, and we'd be having these discussions. What are we going to do? Is there any hope for us? Is there any hope for us? You know, is there anything we could do? That's what was going on in Shushanna Palace that day. People, they started putting their sackcloth and ashes on. They started weeping and crying, and there's fasting going on. But then the message came from Mordecai to Esther. And this is specifically what I want to zero in on. I want you to consider the things that God started doing in the hearts and in that whole thing, what God started doing when the people became earnest. There's something that happened when the people became earnest. Now, Esther said this, and I want to just refer to it. I thought I had the verses here. But I don't think I do. But what happened, Esther told them, there's a whole thing going on, and Esther went and told Mordecai. She said, I want you to make it known to all the Jews everywhere that we're all going to fast for 3 days. And at the end of 3 days, I'm going to go and present myself to the king, and I'm going to ask for our lives. And it was not lawful for her to even go to the king. It was the king had to put out his scepter for her to, for it to even be okay for her to come. So it was a big thing. But there's a specific thing that happened, same as it happened in the days of Jonah. She said, we're going to everyone fast for 3 days. And all the Jews in Shushan, Esther, and her people, they all fasted for 3 days. No food and no water. Okay, who's ready to join me for a 3-day no food and no water? Who's ready to do that? Okay, we can do the no food, right? But no water. No food and no water for 3 days, and we're going to fast for that need in my life. By God's help, we're going to get on the other side. God is going to help me. He promised in his word, right? He said it, and we believe it. Yeah, right, Larry? He said it, so we believe it. We have faith. Okay. All right. Here they were. They fasted and they prayed, and the same situation as with Jonah. Here they were. The animals were baying and mooing. All the young children were crying. And there's this cry that went up to heaven. There's this cry that went up to heaven. And God looked down and things started happening. Okay, now I want you to note what happened. First of all, as a result of this, all of a sudden, the king couldn't sleep. As a result of the fasting, all of a sudden the king couldn't sleep. And when the king couldn't sleep, he said, well, hey, have them bring the scrolls. I want to read about what's happened in the last couple of years. I want to read the chronicles from the last couple of years. And as they were reading through those chronicles during the night, because he couldn't read, all of a sudden the king discovered that here Mordecai, a couple of years prior, Mordecai had saved the king's life and no one even honored him. Now, did that just happen, or was that a divine miracle from heaven that kept the king awake? Right? It was a divine miracle from God that kept the king awake. And then he read, and then His heart was moved to somehow bless Mordecai. And his heart was moved, how can I bless this man who saved my life? How can I bless him? And in the middle of his heart being moved to bless Mordecai, all of a sudden, there's a knock. And here comes Haman in the front door. Here comes Haman. Of all people, Haman, right? Here comes Haman. And Haman was actually walking in the door that morning. He had built his gallows and he was ready to hang Mordecai. And he walks in the door and the king says, hey, what can I do to bless the man who saved my, what can I do to bless the man who saved my life? Actually, he didn't say save my life. That would have given it away. He was saying that I want to honor. That's what he's saying. And so, the hand of God moved him, and Haman said his peace. And here all of a sudden, Haman of all men, traipsing through the streets of Shushan and honoring this Mordecai. Now, is that divine from God, or is that coincidence? And is that just something that just randomly happened, or is it because there was a crying out to God? There was a begging of God for our lives. God, would you save our lives? God, we're all going to be killed. We won't make it. Right? There was this crying to God. Well, the story goes on. You know what happened next? And it wasn't long after that. The queen comes. She comes in and here's Haman. And the king starts asking the questions, and here's Haman there already. And she started, making her pleas, and she wanted him to, come over for lunch and all that. And, the story progresses. And I'm not going to go into all the details, but there is salvation came to all the Jewish people because of the depth of their crying out to God and them looking to him for help. And having faith, Brother Larry. And God's brought salvation. Now, I want you to think this morning. Consider with me, what is a specific area that you want sanctification to come in your life? I mean, all of us have some, right? All of us have some. What about? There's lots of different things we can pursue and all that. But what about, brothers and sisters? Each of us on a personal level, we're going to fast for 3 days. Fast, no food, no water. We're going to say, God, would you please? God, would you please? God, would you please? I need you to change this area in my life. And we look into his face and we draw nigh to him. Do you think God would do something in our life? Maybe. He might. God might do something if we would do that. He might. I'll let you figure out if he will. I'll let you figure that out. Now, Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6 through 10. Is not this the fast that I have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness? You want wickedness to run away? You want wickedness to run out of your life? You want bondages to leave? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? This is what he says. To undo the heavy burdens. You know how it is sometimes. There are those things in our lives that are big, and they feel like we've got this big bag of whatever on our shoulders, and we feel weighted down, and we feel discouraged, and we have this big bag on our back, and it's, it's a big burden. How do we get rid of this? How do we do it? This is what it says. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free. Am I right? Sometimes there are things that feel oppressive to us. We feel burdened. We feel oppressed. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? Is that not what a fast is all about? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor, that thou art cast out of the house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Verse 8 says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. It's not only for spiritual reasons. He said, physically you're going to get better if you fast. He goes on and he says, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. All of a sudden, there's righteousness that comes out of this. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Verse 9, then shalt thou call, and the Lord will answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. I'm not sure. Larry, do you think the Lord would hear us if we would start praying and fasting and not eating and drinking, seeking him and crying out to him like they did in Esther's day and Jonah's day? Do you think he would? Whoa. He would even more so if the whole congregation would. But I don't think we could, Brother Larry, because we all work. I don't think we all could. I don't think we could all do that. Maybe we could. Memorial Day weekend. There you go. He said Memorial Day weekend. That's a good weekend to do it. God changing the heart of a man. Does God want to change our hearts and sanctify us? Does God want us to go a couple steps farther? I think maybe. There's a lot more we could talk about. There's a lot other things that we could, and I'm not putting this out as the only or the ultimate, but like for us to just consider, God uses fasting, seeking God, drawing close to him, filling our hearts, having that one mind, that one heart toward him. We are changed from glory to glory and in his image as we do that. We are. Lord bless you all. May the Lord help us to draw nigh to him. And then he will also draw nigh to us.